all ask questions. Why is the sky blue? What happened to all the dinosaurs? What was the best thing before sliced bread? But some questions are more important than others. How do I forgive someone even when I feel like I can't? What's my purpose in life? How can I be the parent God wants me to be and the one my kids need me to be? So where do we turn? To the one that has all the answers. We'll tackle some of life's most complex issues and discover God's best plan. Why? Because you asked for it.
Amen. What's up, y'all?
Hello. Good morning. Good morning.
Well, I'm Mel McGee, and this is my lovely better half, Shafanta. Y'all give her a hand. She already stole my thunder, so I'm just gonna sit here.
Jesus. Okay. It's not like Jesus.
So the question was posed today: how can I be a better parent? And it's just like the Holy Spirit for pastor to have a wedding to do for family, and for the spot to be open, and for him to slide perfect parents in here to come talk to y'all about what we need to do as far as, no, y'all know I'm joking. We are parents, but we're not perfect. We mess up a lot. But there are some spiritual truths that we know and that we've studied and that we always study to help us be better parents and to upgrade our parenting style and what we do. Now, some of you might say, my kid's grown. Wait a minute. We got something for you too. Parenting never ends. I ain't even got to ask for a witness on that one. Y'all like, yeah, boy. It never ends. So we got a little something for everybody.
Oh, yeah. But because I was going to say, it's another group of people. Now, we're teachers, high school teachers. So this is a day and time in which children are being raised by guardians, by neighbors, by grandparents. So we wanted to make sure that this message hit everyone. Even if you do not have kids, if you are not helping someone with a child, you never know. Somebody with children might ask you a question. Just because you haven't physically birthed any children does not mean that you cannot give good advice. You cannot share wisdom. You have some wisdom that you can share.
Amen. She said she wasn't going to say that much, but. Amen. I knew it. That's why. So we get to tag team this here because it's good to hear a father's perspective and then a mother's perspective on how to rear children. How many of you know that they're not children, really? They're really little adults.
They're little people.
Mm-hmm. They're little people. And the whole thing that we, you know, our whole mantra in our household is that, you know, one day they're going to grow up, and it's much easier to raise children up the way that they should go than to try to repair them as adults. You understand what I'm saying? So I got a couple things I want to start off with to kind of help you, okay? First of all, parenting is one of the great joys of life. I mean, there's nothing I'd rather be. I play sports and I do a little bit of singing and all that stuff, but the joys that I get from being a dad is awesome. I mean, you never can. Kids come home with a lot of different stuff, you know, and they come up with stuff, and they, you know, it's a lot of highs and lows, but we'll get into that in a second. But the second thing I want to tell you, parent is not for the squeamish or the faint of heart.
No.
You got to be ready.
Even when you're not ready, you better get ready.
Yeah. And everything you're not going to be ready for. But it's not for the squeamish. You can't back off. And what I see, hear my heart, what I see is a lot of parents back away. They have children. The children are there, but they're going through the motions, but they're not actively parenting. They're providing shelter. They're providing food, but they're not parenting. You hear me there? So we're going to talk about getting into the game. We ain't gonna stand on the sidelines. We're in the game and we're playing, okay? And we ain't running away from the ball.
That's right.
Okay? We're in it. Next thing, parenting, there are no guarantees. We talked about that earlier. I mean, you never know what you're gonna get. What was that Forrest Gump said? It's like a box of chocolates.
You never know what you're gonna get.
Yeah, never know what you're gonna get. And parenting has a lot of, it's a thrill ride of highs and lows, I'm telling you. And there's sometimes those lows are extreme. And so we just got to be ready for them.
So let's talk about those highs and lows of parenting.
Okay.
So a high, in Genesis 4 and 8, I'm sorry, 4, 1 through 2, Adam made love to his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks and worked the soil. I mean, having the children, of course, now he can't talk about this because he didn't really do it. He didn't carry that baby for 9 months. He didn't. His body didn't really change like that. His hormones didn't change. You know, people didn't look at you strange like, did you really think you could squeeze into that shirt? Yes, I did. But when that baby comes out, it's nothing like it. You know, no matter how bad my day is, I can count on three kiddos that's going to run up to me and they're going to give me a hug and they are so happy to see me. And for a little bit of time, it makes you forget about, oh, it was an awful day. It is a high to have these children.
The Bible goes back and forth with highs and lows. And, you know, we have to be ready. If you know, we talk about getting into the Bible and reading God's word, but he's preparing us, really. If you really get into it, you're going to be prepared for what's going to happen. There are lows, too, and there are extreme lows. If you look at Genesis 8, 4 and 8, it says, "Now Cain said to his brother Abel, 'Let's go out into the field.' While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother and killed him." That was probably pretty tough to Adam and Eve. You know, and if anyone's ever lost children, you know what that's like. But that's an extreme low, and no one can really prepare you for it. But the Bible's full of it. Okay? Let's go to the next high. Children are the heritage of the Lord. Offspring, a reward from him. They're a reward from God. Okay? Children are a reward. It's awesome. You know? But there's some lows. And some of you women probably can attest to this. Then Rebecca said to Isaac, "I'm disgusted with living because this Hittite woman. If Jacob marries this woman from this land, my life will not be worth living." Good gracious. It's a low. You know, how many always liked who your son and daughter were dating or being, you know? Okay.
Or sometimes when they're little, because our children, you know, the oldest is 14, the youngest is 8.
She's 15.
Everybody. She's 15. Oh, yes, sorry. Yeah, my bad. She's 15. Sorry about that. 2 weeks ago. Somebody getting old. Yeah. But she, you know, sometimes they tend to mingle with the other children, and they should mingle. But sometimes, you know, sometimes it's like, why are you mingling with them? You know what I'm saying? And sometimes your children would do things that you know you didn't teach them. You're like, where you get that from? And they have these new friends. So the low of parenting is helping them to see that, let's make a better choice. I'm not saying you don't need to be their friend, but they might not need to be your best friend. You know, if they always get in trouble in circle time, why that's got to be your best friend?
Right. Right. Circle time is an issue.
Serious.
Another high of parenting, the Bible tells us, a wise son brings joy to his father. And that's awesome. You know, when you see that, you know, as a coach and as a parent, you know, when your kids do stuff that make you proud, it brings joy to your heart. There's also some lows there. We look at David, the 2 Samuel 18:33 says, "The king was shaken. He went up to the room over the gateway and wept. As he went, he said, 'Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I had died instead of you.'" That's gut-wrenching, man. That's tough. You know, so it's full of highs and lows. And what we want to do is be prepared. And one of the questions I want to pose to you today is, how do we handle the highs and lows? Because everybody knows the Lord has given us victory in every situation, in every circumstance. Amen. And what do we hold on to? what do we hold on to? If we talk about the highs and lows like a roller coaster ride, you get on a roller coaster, they give you bars that you hold on to. So we have some handlebars in here that we're going to give you, hopefully, that you can take with you and share with other people. But the things that we need to hold on to for maximum parenting, not just being good enough. You know, we don't want to just get to the line and stop. We want to be maximum parenters because we have a good father. Amen. Yeah. Who shows us how to be. So one thing I want you to think about is hold on to the goal. Hold on to the goal. All right. Let me read that verse.
Mm-hmm. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground.
Do you see in that verse the goal? The goal. Not just to be fruitful, not just to increase, not just to multiply. Fill the earth, subdue it, and rule over it. Rule over it. What does this mean? Hey, your children, we're making godly difference makers. See what I'm saying? And this parenting thing is serious. They're cute, and you know, when they come out, it starts off with, hey, it's a boy, or hey, it's a girl, but then the job starts, you know, because they really don't belong to you. See what I'm saying? And sometimes we forget, that's my boy. No, that's God's child that you have been given stewardship over. And you need to raise them up in the way that they should go. Amen?
Yeah, because when you're talking about being godly difference makers, like in the classroom, I see these high schoolers. I have children that teach and they know Jesus. They know scripture. They know what they should do and they know what they should not do. But then comes the task of when you are in a tight situation, what are you going to do? I'm not, and I tell them all the time and I tell my own children, I'm not asking you to be perfect. I'm not asking you to dot every I and cross every T, but I am asking you to be the best you that you can be. And in being the best you that you can be, when we are telling our children who God says they are, being the best you is remember who you are. When you are talking to that adult and you don't particularly care for how they have addressed you or what they have said, you have a choice. Are you going to begin to think that you are an adult and you're going to address them back like an adult? Or are you going to be a child and, number one, own up to your mistake? If you were wrong, apologize for being wrong. And then let your parent handle it. Because I can tell you right now, when children talk to me like they are an adult, I ask them, you sure you want to do that? Are you sure? I mean, because we can have this conversation, but you're really not going to like how it's going to go. And then I'm going to call your mama, and I'm going to tell her everything I said. And then you're going to tell her what you said, and it's not going to be good. We don't have to go through all that. Just pick up your pencil and do the problem. That's all I want you to do. Right. Yes.
Y'all don't want Miss McGee's class, do you? The next thing is children will be whatever. They can be whatever you want them to be. Okay? But in the middle of that, point them to God. Okay? Point them to God. You know, we see it a lot as educators that, oh, my child can be whatever he wants. He can be this. He can be LeBron James. He can be this.
But you ain't first putting
all,
no work in.
First of all, I'm thinking, no. Okay?
You ain't putting LeBron no work
James,
in. You
there's there's no only one in. LeBron James, but they can be really good at what they do. But instead of focusing on that, focus on pointing them to what God says they can be. Okay? Focus on that. Make sure you're giving your kids what really counts. What really counts. We can give them all the material things in the world. That stuff doesn't count. It goes away. They don't have values. If they don't have standards, love, they don't know how to contribute to society. If they don't have discipline. If they don't have discipline, and if they don't have discipline,
Jesus. Discipline.
It's not easy either. You know, when that incident happens, he's like, you know, I'm at now. We're spanking parents.
Sorry.
Okay.
Just saying.
We spank.
But now qualify that statement. If what you are doing is going to cause harm to yourself or someone else, and we have discussed this, I'm sorry. The Bible says you got to drive it out with all your might.
Right. That's what it says. That's what it says. Yeah. It's not in your notes, but it's there. And it's not always easy to do. Lord, I'm gonna have to get you for this. I don't feel like doing this all the time. And what we see a lot of times, and with us too, we back away from it and try to talk them out of it. But deep down in your heart, and it's really prompting by the Holy Spirit saying, you know you need to get him for that. I'm for real. You know you need to get him for that because it's going to come back up again and you're going to be angry now dealing with it instead of dealing with it on the front end. Okay?
Yeah, I remember when Karis was little. I don't remember what she did. She was probably about 3 or 4. And I spanked her for what she did. And my mother-in-law was with me when I spanked this first time. You know, a couple weeks passed and she does it again. And she looked at me and she said, you know, if you whoop that right, it wouldn't happen. You ain't whoop that right. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I was kind of one of those, I'm the first mom, and you know, you try to be perfect, you have everything in the bag. Who's this lady gonna tell me what to do? I'm educated, I done read books. What you mean I ain't whoop that right? But then when I thought about it, she did the exact same thing again. So either I was talking a foreign language, or she really did not understand how serious I was when I said, do not do that.
I wasn't cutting you off. I was agreeing.
Oh, okay. I mean, you know.
I was shouting you down.
You shouting me down because I'm preaching right.
Yeah. Point them in the right direction. That's what we're getting to. Point them in the right direction. In the Message Bible, Proverbs 22:6, we know it. But it says, point your children, point your kids in the right direction. And when they get old, they won't be lost. That's powerful, man. You know, I don't want my children to be lost. I don't want them to have deficiencies. Life is hard enough. We have to understand that we are responsible for their adulthood while they are children. And you know, my thing with my son, can I just be real? I just want no woman to marry no sorry man.
God knows.
Can I be real?
Yeah.
So when I tell him to do stuff, I know he don't like it. I don't care. Son, I'm trying to give you responsibility. And I know he's only 10 and mama sometimes like, Amel, I know. And what we have to do sometimes, and men, we talked about this before, is that we have to cut the cord a second time. Emotionally. Okay? Because mama's going to love him. Regardless of what he does.
But don't get it twisted, because this daddy and his girls.
Yeah.
I felt like you said that a little firm. I don't really care what you felt like. They understand and they know what they're supposed to do. That. Because we live in a society where everybody, it's okay for everybody, but oh God, I don't know if I can make it. Yes, you do. You pick yourself up and you walk. If you get winded, you stop, you pause, you breathe. You take it real slow. You ain't got to just go off on people because you want to. And you also don't have to go down into a hole because it didn't go out the way that you want it to happen. It's called life. You know, I tell my seniors all the time, are you ready for this adulting? Because it's like nothing else you've ever seen before. Everything you thought you were going to do, everything you thought you were going to be able to do, half of that is not going to happen. But when life happens, because it's going to happen, has it not happened? Is it not happening right now? So what are we going to do? We gonna cringe and we gonna, you know, I tell my students, you're gonna be brave or you're gonna be a baby. Which one are you gonna be? I wanna be brave. Sometimes I really wanna be a baby, but I got to get up and I gotta keep going. Because if you think about your life, there have been things that you did not think you would be able to make it through. And look at you right now. You were brave instead of being a baby. So you gotta teach these children, be brave. I tell Malia all the time, because you know, she's the baby and she has been babied. You know, but you have to tell her, Mimi, stop and breathe. Now, they laugh at me because I believe in talking to children because I want them to be able to hear my voice. Somebody told me, you know, don't yell at them because the Holy Spirit is a still small voice. So if you're yelling at them all the time, they're not even going to be able to hear the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit's trying to talk to them. So I'm quick with all my nieces and nephews. I need you to breathe. Can you hear my voice? Bring it down. We're not finna show out. That's what you're not finna do. Okay? I do not want to have to go there, but I will go there. Karis will tell you. She tries to coach him. Stop, because she will get you right here. Yes, I will. But you got to talk. You got to constantly just breathe. Take it slow. We are having a bad moment. So will we let this bad moment turn into a bad day, or will we just allow it to be a moment? Because it's still something we can be happy about.
Yeah. She ain't all that tough, man. We have to teach them now. we have to get rid of that they'll learn one day.
Yeah.
Not when they're children. Teach them now. You know, I got a quick story. We taught Karis that when she was really, really little, to hear our voice. And we were at a family function, and one of my uncles was just driving through the yard. I don't know why he was driving through the yard. But
tell him how old kids, she was, though.
She was probably three.
Yeah, she was four. Little.
And I was way across the yard, and she did not see the truck coming up behind her, and she was about to run out across the yard, and he didn't see her. I know he wasn't going to see her because she was little. And all the kids had made it across, and she was about to go, and I yelled out, "Karis!" And she stopped. She stopped, and I'm thankful for that. But that didn't start that day. It didn't start last week. It started when she was able, and we say, "No, Karis, no. Stop." And you make your children respond to your voice. And they don't respond, then you got to give them a little something else to help them respond. Okay? But that was important because I see it all the time where talk to children. I know leaders are repeaters, but parents, I'm not going to repeat myself a whole lot. I don't repeat myself a whole lot to my team or to my students. Because you need to listen. When I'm talking, you listen. That's just what it is. And we've made them, you know, in society, and tells us, try to tell you how to know. The Bible tells you how to parent. The Bible tells you how to parent. You know, don't mean you're gonna get it right all the time, but the Bible tells you how to parent. So you teach your children according to what the Lord says, and he's telling us how to make these things happen, okay, and how they need to respond. But it's important to make them listen. Children are going to be whatever you shape them and mold them to be. They're gonna be whatever you shape and mold them to be.
Cause you are. My high schoolers, they get mad a lot. Because they're like, how my mama gonna tell me to do this and she doing that? And how my daddy gonna tell me to do this and he doing that? And I said, but you understand that your parents, they did what they knew to do. So when you know better, you do what? You do better. Now if we know better, we have to do better. It ain't gonna happen overnight. But sometimes I say to Karis, I'm telling you this because you really need to do this. Mom didn't really do it, but you really need to do it. I know you don't really like it. Fix your face or whatever. Bring your shoulders down because you're going to have to do it.
Yeah. The next thing, pray for them fervently. I mean, you ain't parented until your kids wake you up at night. And I ain't talking about your kids in general, but the Holy Spirit, the Lord, something wakes you up at night and you go into their room and you just pray for them. Sometimes I don't even know why. I just do it. When I'm riding down the road, I'm thinking, they loud in the bag. I'm thinking, Lord, have mercy. Thank you for these kids, Jesus. And they push you to the limit. You gotta stop and think. Because I always, early as a parent, I didn't always stop and think. You know, I just responded and reacted. And that's not good. It's just not good. As I guess the Lord been working on me. My wife been praying for me.
Yes,
y'all
Jesus.
Been praying for
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
But I used to fly off the handle quick. You know, and then children, not only we're young and married, then we have a child. And people think that makes your marriage better. But if you don't know no better, it's not.
Ooh.
So it causes, uh-huh. Now you got a child to deal with and your wife to deal with.
That and was
and,
too hard.
Well. And you have your wife, you and your wife have your child to deal with.
And then, you know, parenting isn't popular. You know what I'm saying?
No, it's not.
You know, we have friends that have kids and they're doing this parenting thing. And then you got other friends that don't have no kids. They're like, why you can't? Because I got three people. You understand what I'm saying? These kids got to eat. They keep growing like weeds and stuff. I got to go sit down. I got to do this reading. They got to read to me. It's killing me, but I got to listen to them read. Like, say the word. Sound it out.
Any of you daddies ever had books? And they bring you that book. And you read the first line of every book and every page. And then be like, oh, that's it. That's the end of the book. And they done, somebody else done read the book. And they know the end. They're like, no, daddy, that's not it. You're like, oh, man.
That would be Malia. You got
tried,
five more pages,
to,
Daddy.
Yeah,
you got five more
cheat.
Pages.
I tried to cheat. I'm sorry. All right. Moving on. Next thing we want you to hold on to is hold on to your time. Okay? Hold on to your time.
Be very careful how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil.
Yeah. And you can add there that the days are fast.
Yeah.
Okay? The days are limited. Okay? Just paraphrase that. Put in there whatever you want. Because even though, you know, we're in the middle of this thing, one day they're going to be gone.
Yeah, I mean, Karis is 15. I got that number right now. Yeah. She's 15, but I remember when she was my Muda. She was so sweet and she was so cute. She could sit in a movie. She could sit through church. She didn't make no sounds. And now I got 2 years, and she getting ready to go to college. She in the 10th grade. The time is going by fast. And people would tell me all the time when they were younger, you should really enjoy this. I'm thinking, you saying that. You ain't buying $25 milk. You ain't buying no diapers. They ain't spitting up on you. You know, but now... You know, it's kind of like you kind of got to enjoy. You got to enjoy the mess of it all because they're going to leave.
I think we shouted when we stopped buying formula.
Yeah, I know. I posted a picture of the diaper bag.
Yeah.
When Malia was finally potty trained and I had to carry that bag around no more, I posted a picture on Facebook. Jesus is real.
Jesus is real.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
And at one time, her and Bailey went diapers at the same time.
Ooh. Jesus.
And I was like, okay, somebody got to go to the bathroom by themselves.
And he was trying to crawl into her car seat. I was like, no, yes. Buddy, you're going to walk. You're too heavy. You got to walk.
Yeah. I got some nice guns from carrying that carrier. That
strong.
Nice. Make the most of the time with your kids, okay? Because here's what happens. Busyness and reacting to life will sweep it away.
Yeah.
Sweep that time away. And notice I said reacting to life. Make that time. Schedule out that time. You know, make that time valuable and important. Refuse to leave the best things in life up to chance. Y'all hear what I'm saying there? Refuse to do that. I'm not gonna leave dating up to chance. I'm definitely not gonna leave dating up to chance. I can tell you that right now. For real. I mean, you know. I sang up here and stuff, but don't get it twisted. I'm not gonna leave the time with homework and building, helping build their mind. And I pray this every morning. My children have the mind of Christ, the wisdom of the ages. Even though they might bring home a D, they still got the mind of Christ. Because it's not gonna just happen. I'm not going to just leave that up. And as educators, we're not going to leave that up. And you know what? And we're not the educators that overstep teachers.
No. Uh-uh.
Your teacher, that person is being paid to deal with the children at that time. We're going to support them. And plus, your children's not going to have the perfect boss. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
They're not going to have the perfect coach or the perfect supervisor, whoever that is. So they got to learn how to deal.
Yeah, part right there for a minute.
Okay.
You know, the teacher, the person that's in the room, keep in mind, if they have 18, 30 kids, they have to do what's in the best interest for all 18 and 30. So, like, Malia had an incident a couple of weeks ago where a young lady was talking to her during circle time,
told you about that.
Circle time, third grade, okay? They're sitting down. I don't know what they're waiting on, but they're sitting crisscross applesauce. Young lady is talking to Malia. Malia chose to look at her and to tell her, stop talking, I can't hear the teacher. All the teacher knew is when she turned around, Malia was turned around. And that other girl, they obviously y'all talking. So she told both of them that they would not get their sore. And it's like a behavior thing.
So below the line.
She's below the line. So for Malia, OMG, the world has ended.
She had a bad day. So she didn't tell us at first. So she had a bad, I mean, it was just like, she's not the same Malia. So he's like, what's going on? So she kind of laying around. She all of a sudden sleepy. Oh, my God. So I said, you know, I was doing something. I said, Malia, what is wrong with you? And she just, I got below the line.
But she was talking to me, and I was trying to tell her to stop, and she wouldn't. I was like, oh, God. I said, so what happened? She was like, I didn't get my sword. So I asked her, we did a parent-teacher conference, and I asked her teacher, and I could tell from the teacher's body language, because I'm a teacher, that she kind of cringed a little bit, like, oh, God, we're going to have to talk about this. But it wasn't going to go the way she thought it was going to go. Because the person that's in that room, that's your room. I don't tell you how to teach because you don't tell me how to parent. Now, there are sometimes, as a parent, I want to tell some of my parents, you need to parent this. This is not a teacher issue. Right. This is a parenting issue.
Yes.
If you cannot get your children to listen to you and respect you and do what they need to do, what you think they're going to do with me?
Right.
You know, a lot of times on our hallway in our science department, I say, you need to tell the children when they say something, you know, flippity to you, ask them, do you say that to your mama? And when they say yes, look at me good, because I'm not her. I'm not her.
Not your mama.
Because you have to make them recognize that there is a difference, there's a distinction. And what I have asked you to do is what's in the best interest for everybody in this room. So to anybody who teaches, anybody that's in education, counselors, APs, principals and all that, you have the most respect, the utmost respect for me. Because I have seen parents walk in the building like our number one goal was to hurt your kid. Please, ma'am, please know that that's not it. We're just trying to get reading levels up. We're trying to get them to do math. We're trying to get them to talk. You cannot look at me and I ask you a question and you look at me like you ain't understand what I said. But your jawbone is moving and your leg is twitching. You can calm all that down because I'm not scared and you're not crazy. You're not finna jump on nobody. But this is a parenting issue.
Break it down, baby.
I'm sorry. because it's a parenting issue because you got to show your children how should you behave. Right. If you don't like something someone said, what does it cost you to say, that's not how it happened, or that's not what happened. When Malia did that with her teacher said, you know, she told her she's going to be below the line. She said she walked up to me and she gave me this big old hug and she just squeezed the life out of me. And she said, she looked at Malia and she told her, you're not going to get a spanking for that. And I'm thinking, well, it depends. But she didn't. She didn't get a whooping for that. But Malia, her immediate response was, oh, no, this not going to be good when I get home. No, because you have to explain what you did. And then we got to talk about what you should have done. And so what I told her, I was like, you were trying to help the teacher and you can't. When that little girl is talking, I don't even want you to shake your head. I just want you to look at her like this.
Right. Because she said no talking.
Right.
So you don't respond in any way.
Because that's a safety issue.
Yeah. And we're not going to try to find a way to make you right. You were wrong. So next time you know. You know, you don't have to make it all easy. You know, she's 8, but now she knows. Teach him now to follow directions.
Yeah, so when they get to high school, I don't have to teach him.
All right, three phases of parenting. Okay, in the first phase, you got to be a coach. Mm-hmm. Second phase, you got to be a cheerleader. And in the third phase, you got to be a consultant. Mm-hmm. So in the coaching phase, this is a 0 to preteen age, and what you think about what a coach does. Give direction. Don't drop the ball on giving directions. Okay, you're kind of like their GPS system. Yes, it's going to be a lot of, don't do that, stop, no, go here, put that down, no, do it, run it. No, it's going to be a lot of that.
A lot.
Okay, but you don't want to have to do it when they're adults. Some people try to do it when they're adults and they don't work out too well. Okay, because you can't tell grown people what to do. Okay, second part. Cheerleader, preteen to early childhood. And this is important. Every teenager needs to hear two things. I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
And you're good at whatever. The thing that I think that happens, and we deal with teenagers, that we forget that they have feelings. Mm-hmm. We forget that they have responsibilities. They're going through things.
Mm-hmm. They have problems.
Yeah, they have stuff. And it's important to them. And we have to parent them in the middle of that. And it can't be they don't know anything. That's not true. They know stuff. They know how to do stuff. But you got to slide out of the don't do that, don't touch that, don't stop phase to more of the look. Let's just find another way how to do it. Because you know what? You're very good at this. And I'm proud of you because at least you didn't give up. At least you're trying. At least you're pushing. The last phase of that, when they become adults, the consultant, be a person that they can lean on to. Be a helper. If you have adult children, be a helper. You know, I'm looking forward to the day where they can go on and be who they're going to be in life. But I'm always going to be there. You know, I can't wait. Well, I can wait. But I want to see how they deal with their children when they think it's easy. You know what? My parents were so dumb when I was a teenager. But you know what? Now they real smart.
They real smart.
Oh my goodness, they are some of the smartest people I know. Because they had to deal, they know how to deal. Had to deal. And I think I came out okay. But you know, I know what they had to go through, and it changes your world when you have to respond. So if you have adult children, be there for them to lean on, be there for them to help, to be a helper, and give them advice when they ask, because they ain't gonna always ask.
Or your adult children's friends. I mean, the good thing about, I'm not from here. I'm 3 hours away. I'm from Garner. It's right outside of Raleigh. My mom, I can call her, but it's nothing like I can go around the corner and I can go see my mother-in-law. Or I can see his great aunts. And I can ask them a question. And they can help me on how to be a woman and how to raise these girls and how to raise these boys. And y'all know that doesn't happen for everybody. Everybody doesn't necessarily have that circle of people that they can call and they can connect with. So even when that adult calls your house and you like, oh my God, she getting on my nerves, she don't be listening.
Well, you have wisdom.
Yeah, but she must be listening because that's why she calling you.
Right.
Because if she wasn't listening, she wouldn't call you at all.
Yeah. Yeah, the Lord has blessed you to still be on this earth. So let people use you.
You let know,
especially,
use
especially,
you.
Especially when it comes to parenting.
Sorry. You said let me use you. Let me use you.
I know. C. Let's move on to C. Hold on to the responsibility. Hold on to the responsibility.
And David shepherded them with integrity of heart. With skillful hands, he led them.
With skillful hands. Ask somebody beside you. Say, you got skills? You got to have skills, man. You got to have skills. The first skill that you can have is live with integrity. Mm-hmm. Live with integrity in front of your children. You know, you don't have to be perfect to be a hero. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be perfect. You know, but live it. Do the right things.
And if you don't do the right thing, all you have to say is, I apologize.
Yeah,
Mom, it wasn't the right thing.
We messed up.
I said that wrong. I shouldn't have said it like that. I was angry. I should have waited and said this to you when I wasn't angry. And I do apologize.
Yeah.
Because then it puts it back on them.
Right. Daddy should have said that. Real simple. Daddy messed that up. I'm sorry. And they learn from that. Next thing. Constantly upgrade your parenting skills. I mean, we're reading a book now called Grit. It is lovely.
By Angela Duckworth.
Yeah, it's hard. You have to teach young people that perseverance, that stick-to-itiveness. You know, because life is tough. Life is tough, but they can't give up. It ain't even an option. So you got to help them walk through, help them through it. You got to have skills. You got to have skills. The next thing you can do is know their bent. Know their bent. Train up a child in the way they should go. And when he's old, he won't depart from it. Start children off in the right way. Start them off in the way they should go. Okay? That's a directive. Start them off in the way they should go. And even when they're old, they won't turn from it. They won't turn from it. Sixth thing you gotta know is this is funny when we were looking at this. You have to know their birth order and how it affects the children. You gotta know this. Firstborns. Now, me and Karis, we vibe because we're firstborns. I married a lastborn. Okay? So that changes how we communicate, how we function. Yeah, how we do things. Firstborns are achievers. They're perfectionists. They're cautious and they have high expectations.
Cautious. Real cautious.
High expectations. I guess that's why I'm a coach, because I just got high expectations. You know, I don't want to settle for anything less. Middleborns. This is funny. They're different. Period. They're different. They're independent. Mm-hmm. And they're sociable. And most of the time, they're trying to go opposite of the firstborn. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay? Lastborns. They're the life of the party. Okay? They want to do everything with everybody. They're outgoing. And they love fun. That's Malia. I mean, it's like everything's fun. No, you have to be serious with this. They do cheerleading. And Karis is extra serious. And Malia's like, it really doesn't matter. I just want to be. I'm socialized. He's like, no, you got to be serious, girl. It's called money. So, third thing there, help your children dream. Help them to dream. Parents should help children dream big. You know, that's part of raising them according to their bent. Help them dream big. Help them see past the four walls of your home. You know, I read a story about a guy who had a son, and he had a poster on his wall. And his son memorized, it was a poster of the bones of the body. And the son at an early age memorized the bones of the body. I can't do that. I've been teaching health for 20 years. Okay? And what he said was, I'm going to raise him according to his bent. So I'm going to talk up medical school. I'm going to talk up the sciences. And what he started to do was lean into medical school and the scientists and sciences. And now he's a doctor. According to now, if they don't remember, it has to be, you know, don't think my son is going to be a doctor. His son start reading these. No. The Holy Spirit guides you and direct you. You'll start to see things in your children. You know, we're athletic people. My brother and I, my cousins, we grew up. And I'm thankful that my dad saw that, you know what, these boys are going to have a ball in their hand somewhere, somehow. And to make it, help pay for my education and all of that. Now, for me to expect that from my son, and he's not shaped that way, would be foolish. And it's frustrating to a lot of parents that you know, oh, I want to be this. I want to be, no, that's not how life works. You know, you have to raise them according to their bent. Bailey is a little more tech savvy. So what do? We have to get him in front of some technical stuff. You know, mama got to help with that because I ain't real big on that. But
even when you do see it in your children, you know, in this day and time, as a parent, you know what you see in your child. And sometimes it doesn't always come across in their work that they do in school. But and I tell people all the time, but the brain is a muscle. You just got to exercise it. You exercise it by exposing them to stuff. They learn it. Just because your child may not be where the scores say they should be academically right now does not mean that they cannot get there. And I think a lot of times people get frustrated because, well, the scores say this is where they are. Okay. But it's a muscle. So they got to keep exercising. Keep exercising. Because if you go back and you ask your doctors that you go see, not all of your doctors were whiz kids. Some of them really struggled. You know, some of them in my family, the running joke is you actually teach somebody's children and you have to do math. Because I was going to drop out in elementary school if they would let me. For real. Because math was my hardest subject. And my mama says all the time, Fan, you're teaching chemistry and you have to do math with them. I say, yes, ma'am, it is the funniest thing. Because I hated it. But my mama knew, no, you're going to be able to do it, though. And she kept pushing me and kept pushing me till when I got to college and I changed my major to chemistry. Who does that? That's crazy. You know, and I was in there doing labs and doing things because we kept exercising my muscle.
Amen. The dream has to go along with their bent. Okay. Parents that upgrade their skills will unleash a world of good in their children. You have to constantly better yourself. Get some parenting education constantly. And that would help upgrade and take your children's world to another level. That's important. The last thing, hold on to your mate. And this is one of the reasons why I wanted to bring my wife up here today. And it's important that you hold on to what you have in the marriage. Husbands, love your wives with affectionate, sympathetic, love, selfless love, okay, that always seeks the best for them. That's important. And do not embitter them or resentful, be resentful toward them, because this is the responsibilities of marriage. Talking to husbands there, and I want to challenge the men. You take the lead there. Take the lead there. And be the responsible party for how your marriage goes according to what God says. It's important. Researchers say that marriages suffer the most when children are small or when they're in their teenage years. Can anybody attest to that? It's tough. It's tough. So, I want Shafonta to read this, what we found in a book called Triumphant Marriage. And it's really key, and we're just going to end with this.
Show me a man and a woman who have children, and I will show you a man and a woman who need more than ever to nurture their relationship to ensure it thrives and grows. There's something about romance that intensely, personally, it all gets started when two people look at each other and something powerful happening inside themselves. They sit down with each other and begin to share their thoughts and feelings. They talk about their dreams and their goals, their values, their beliefs, their hopes and their fears. There are few, if any, happily married persons I've interviewed who can get what they need from one another without engaging in this very personal but direct process on a regular basis. Sometimes men who spend tremendous energy in their careers want their wives to feel their love on the basis of how hard I'm working for both of us. It doesn't work like this. And sometimes women who give passionately to their children want their husbands to see how much I obviously love you because of how much I'm giving to our kids. It doesn't work this way either. Romance requires personal, direct, face-to-face time. There's never a time when two people can keep their love growing and prospering without plenty of energy spent relating to each individually and intimately. This is why I encourage people who have children to schedule time for romance. Work it in at least once a week.
Amen. Don't be those parents. They can't be away from your children. Because that's important for you and your marriage. It really is. Being away from them don't hurt them, but hovering over them will.
Yes.
We see it every day. We see it every day. Build your child's EQ, emotional quotient. That's important. Building the EQ is more beneficial than their IQ. Mm-hmm. Emotionally stable children become highly functioning adults. The emotional is more important than the intellectual. It really is. The emotional security comes from seeing parents love one another. Children learn more about how they see you guys deal with with each other than they do. If you're not there or if just giving them stuff and telling them stuff, they observe and they see and they learn that way. Marriage builds the child. The marriage builds a child. Now, you might say, "Well, I'm a single parent. What do I do?" You have to get, especially if you have children of opposite gender, get them around some men that can speak into their lives, or get them around some women that can speak into their lives. And what you have to do is release that. You know, it's unpopular to say this, but single parents, you need help. You do. You're gonna have to. Married parents need help.
Yes.
So you have to get your children around with it. And I'm a surrogate parent to a lot of single parents. Me and my coaching staff, we have to step in and teach manhood a lot. More often than we teach X's and O's in basketball. We have to teach manhood. And it's important. And our goals have changed. You know, I would love to win a state championship, but I want more than that than not to see any of my players go to jail. Or to be good fathers. I want them to be good fathers. I want them to be good husbands. I want them to be good men to add to society. You know? So your views change. And I understand clearly now what I'm supposed to do as a surrogate parent in that phase. Be united front as parents. One of the things that we had to learn to do was not disagree or be disagreeable in front of our children. If we don't see it eye to eye, then we need to go somewhere and talk about it, and then we come back as united front to help this work out. We have friends that are divorcees or single parents. And what they have to do, and it's like, no, that is still their daddy, that's still their mom. Mm-hmm. So you guys have to go work it out, and then you come back as united front and get that thing done. Okay? So don't allow kids to get in the middle of that. You know, one more thing I'll add. Our bedroom is our bedroom.
Yes, Jesus.
Our bed is our bed.
Get out.
It ain't never. Listen to me good. It's never been in 15 years of parenting so far. There's never been a time where a child has slept between me and my wife.
Never.
Never. And you know, that's just us. Now, that ain't necessarily, I can't find that in the Bible yet. I'm sure it's there somewhere. But that's what we do. And what is done is has helped our marriage remain strong and stay strong and stay true. So we just wanted to give you just some notes, just some things that you can take with you. You're going to do whatever you want to do, okay? But we feel like what the Lord is teaching us to do as parents is something that we can share. And the last thing I want to share with you is that parenting comes down to this, and this is the question you have to ask yourself. When my kids leave my house, what are they leaving with? When they go off to college, when they go off and get married, when they go off to live on their own, what are they leaving with? What are you giving them to take with them? Positive or negative? I can tell you there's answers all over the place. And the main answer is in the Word of God. And we have to find it. We have to figure it out. We can't stand on the sidelines and think that things are just going to happen. It's not. We see it every day, where parents have given up and just left things to chance, and the kids are struggling. Yeah. Okay? So give them what they need to equip them. Amen?
Amen.
You got anything to add before we pray?
No, I do not. You're good.
Okay. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for our time today. We thank you, Lord, that whatever we've had or the experiences that my wife and I have gone through and will continue to go through, that hopefully this was something that could help someone. Father, we thank you, Lord, that the wisdom that's all over this room, that our younger parents will lean on the older parents and people that have experienced life and glean some nuggets to help them push through. We know it's not easy. We know that sometimes it gets really, really hard, and there's extreme highs and there's some extreme lows, but you have caused us to triumph in every situation. So we thank you, Lord. We bless you. We honor you. In Jesus' name. Before we go, keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. If there's anyone here today and you're listening and you're thinking, well, you know, how does this all come about? Well, it comes about with Jesus. And we've been singing about it all day. We've been talking about it all day. But there is victory in Jesus. And Jesus is waiting on you to have a relationship with him. And if you don't know Jesus, if you want to experience his love and his grace and his mercy in your life, it's really simple. It's really simple. He's there waiting for you. He's been standing. He's given his life for you. And it's just as simple as just accepting him in your heart. If there's anyone today who needs Jesus for the first time, or even want to rededicate your life to Jesus with no one looking around, just slip your hands in the air. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. Thank you. Father, we thank you. Thank you for those who may be even questioning in their hearts, what do I do? But a simple step. Just repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I thank you.
I thank you.
I believe.
I believe.
You died on the cross.
You died on the cross.
For me.
For me.
I believe.
I believe.
You were buried in a tomb.
You were buried in a tomb.
For me.
For me.
I believe.
I believe.
That you rose again.
That you rose again.
For me.
For me.
And I accept you.
And I accept you.
As my Lord.
As my Lord.
And my Savior.
And my Savior.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Make me new.
Make me new.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, hopefully we gave you something today that you can use. You know, I'm thankful for my lovely wife who decided to join me. I wanted to do a little something different, and I wanted to give you a different perspective. But we have many people in our church that could help you.
Yeah.
With the parenting, we have seasoned adult parents, parents of adults that could help you, and you know, we have parents of little old babies that could help you also. So we just, hopefully you can take this and use it in any form. Okay, all right, stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we believe that you're going to have a great week.
Yes.
You believe that? We believe that no matter what happens this week, that the Lord is on your side, and he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And whatever you're going through, there's victory on the other side. You believe that this morning? Have a good week. God bless you. See you guys next week.